Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
A lot of people sent me this story about the Fenn treasure, which causes a lot of controversy every time I talk about it. I wish it wouldn't, but it does. Judith, Michael, Stephen, and Vincent all sent it to me. And you'll recall that a couple years ago, a guy named Forrest Fenn out west put together a treasure and he hid it someplace. And then he wrote some clues out in the form of a poem and published the poem. And then said, if you follow the clues and decipher the poem, you can go find this treasure and the treasure is yours. And the treasure is reportedly worth millions of dollars. And a lot of people went out and scoured the West looking for it for quite some time. And the treasure hunt was going on, and there were some crazy stories happening. People died looking for this treasure. And so not so long ago, somebody came forward and said, I found it. And Forrest Fenn at first said, yeah, the guy's contacted me, and I've confirmed it. He did, in fact, find it. He's now got the treasure. And at first, he didn't say who the guy was, but recently the guy came forward and said, yes, I'm the guy. And it's a guy from Michigan. So I had said originally that I was skeptical of the treasure. The problem is I'm merely stating my belief. I was skeptical. I had the right to be skeptical. And then when the guy came forward and said, look, I found it, I said in that video that I was less skeptical. And in fact, I was more inclined to believe it was real. But I'm still kind of, the jury's out a little bit. But, you know, again, I'm a skeptic at heart. People got really upset and were calling me names and getting irate for me to say I was skeptical. I'm not saying that the man was a liar. I'm not saying the man is a fraudster or a hoaxer. I simply said I was skeptical. And I have the right to have my beliefs. So you have the right to have your beliefs too. If you want to post below my video and go, well, Steve, you're skeptical. I'm not. Good. We're even. That's how this works. If you threaten me, that's a different story. So here's the story written by Reese Oxner. And there's several versions of this out there. So this is widely reported. Fenn treasure seeker pleads guilty to digging in a Yellowstone cemetery. So this guy didn't find the treasure. But you'll recall the art dealer who hid the treasure chest filled with gold and gems in the Rocky Mountains. And people were searching for this for a decade. Five people have reportedly died looking for it. And the treasure was eventually found in June, this past June. Before it was found, though, a 52-year-old man went digging in pursuit of the treasure inside a cemetery at Yellowstone National Park. The man's from Utah, and he just pled guilty to two felonies on Monday, according to a federal prosecutor. The hunt for the Forrest Fenn treasure was often viewed as a harmless diversion, but in this case, it led to substantial damage to important public resources, says the U.S. Attorney for the District of Wyoming. The defendant let his quest for discovery override respect for the law. The man pled guilty to excavating or trafficking in archaeological resources and to injury or depredation to United States property. He faces up to 12 years in prison and over $250,000 in fines. He previously pled not guilty, and his lawyer did not immediately respond to a request for comment, but it looks like he has now pled guilty. Prosecutors said that the man caused at least $1,000 in damages for digging in Fort Yellowstone Cemetery between October 1st, 2019 and May 24th, 2020. His sentencing is scheduled for March 17th in Casper, Wyoming. The cemetery was used to lay to rest U.S. Army soldiers and civilian employees as well as their family members. Now, NPR's John Burnett reported that Fenn hid the treasure in an ornate Romanesque box. He says he hid the box in the midst of the Great Recession to cheer folks up and to get them off their couches into the great outdoors. Fenn said the contents of the box were worth approximately $2 million. He hinted at the treasure's whereabouts, the poem in a book he self-published called The Thrill of the Chase. And many people tried to decipher the poem's clues. Fenn died at the age of 90, just a few months after the treasure was found. Now, the man who found the treasure kept his identity secret after finding the treasure, but then he revealed it when litigation ensued. The lawsuit, which drew the man out of anonymity, has been called meritless by that man, but it was filed by a Chicago attorney who claims that someone hacked her cell phone and stole proprietary information that led them to the trove. After Fenn passed away, the man who came forward is presumably the only person who knows exactly where the treasure was hidden, and it is a secret that neither man would divulge. Fenn wrote in a statement on his blog, "It was under a canopy of stars in the lush, forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains and had not moved from the spot where I hit it more than 10 years ago." So I'm not covering this story to reopen the debate about whether or not there really was a treasure or who found it. I'm pointing out that some knucklehead who was, in his mind, looking for the treasure, decided to dig up a cemetery and look for the treasure there. And this is a crazy, crazy thing, because I can't imagine there were any clues in that poem that would have hinted that the treasure was buried in an old cemetery. So the thing that occurs to me as I'm looking at the story is whether the guy was digging up the cemetery looking for Forrest Fenn's treasure, or was simply digging up the cemetery looking for anything of age that could be sold. He pled guilty to excavating or trafficking in archaeological resources. And I wonder how much of it was excavating, how much of it was trafficking. In other words, did he find anything when he went digging in the cemetery? And I've mentioned before, I enjoy old cemeteries. As a historian, there's a lot of history in cemeteries. And they're often strange places in that most people, even if they're urban, just go by them and don't pay any attention to them. And I've gone into cemeteries, walked around, just looking at the graves, reading the graves. And there's a lot of neat stuff in cemeteries. And it's unfortunate, because cemeteries are designed as a place for us to put somebody, lay them to rest, and to remember them, and to visit. And I've been to cemeteries, large ones, where I go in and I'm the only person there. And I'll be there for a couple hours, the entire time I'm the only person there. And then I leave. And I've mentioned before, there's a cemetery in Birmingham, Michigan, one of my favorites. And it's at the north end of Quartin Lake. And in that cemetery, for instance, are a bunch of important people. Marshall Fredericks, the sculptor who did the Spirit of Detroit statue, he's buried there. A bunch of other famous people who are from that area, the names of towns and roads and stuff. And then there's a lot of Civil War and other military graves there. And I saw some photographs that accompanied this story. The story I just read to you, written by Reese Oxner, was from NPR. And they had photographs of some Civil War stones. And you can spot them. There's a very distinct look to a Civil War stone. It's you know, rounded at the top. And then it's got the shield carved into it. And it'll have, you know, have the name of the person and what unit they served with. It'll say the such and such company, such and such infantry, from Michigan or whatever, because, you know, Civil War often has the name of the state the person came from. And there's a family marker in the cemetery in Birmingham that has the Civil War stones down for the family members who served in the Civil War. And two of them are brothers. Two of them are brothers. And one of them died at Gettysburg, the most famous battle of the Civil War. The other one died in Andersonville, which was the notorious Confederate Civil War prisoner of war camp. And so the fact that these two brothers went off to fight the Civil War and they both died at such well-known places is historically fascinating. And then you look at the family plot, and of course now there's the marker, the obelisk that has that information on it. And now you see the brothers and the parents and a couple other relatives, and the whole family is there. And, you know, places like that are for reflection. So the idea that somebody's in there digging up a cemetery and his excuse is he's looking for a treasure. I'm not sure how much of this really actually has to do with the treasure. If I had to guess, it's more likely the guy thought, hey, here's a cemetery in the middle of nowhere, and if I dig up some of these graves, I might find some cool stuff. You know, that's just my gut reaction. So for those of you who want to get angry anytime I mention Forrest Fenn, I'm actually defending him on this one. Because I don't think that this guy actually had the thought of Forrest Fenn in his head as he's digging up graves at Yellowstone. I don't think so. But that's what he said. If you want to believe it, you can. But the interesting thing about the Fenn treasure hunt is I told you I was skeptical of it. But I don't blame him for the stupid stuff people did. Okay? I actually think it's an interesting idea. Other people have done this before. There have been people who've hidden treasures and then announced it. Hey, I hid a treasure. That's been done before. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And so when people go out and do stupid stuff and then say, oh, I'm doing it because of the treasure. No. If you're doing stupid stuff or illegal stuff or dangerous stuff, that's on you. That's on you. This guy puts a treasure out there and he says, in essence, I'm assuming you can get this without breaking the law, without dying. Walk over and pick it up, apparently. So in that case, you know, it's not his fault that people are doing dumb stuff, especially not when a guy who claims he's a Fenn treasure seeker pleads guilty to digging in a Yellowstone cemetery, which is just idiotic. So there you go. Judith, Michael, Stephen, and Vincent, thanks for sending it. Questions or comments, do put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. My mother, let me tell you about my mother.